Good morning. That was amazing worship, wasn't it? Man, that was great. I was just so thankful for the worship team and how they lead us week in and week out. Amen. It's so good. Well, welcome. Good morning. It's good to be here. Again, welcome back, Pastor Gary. It's great to have you with us, and it's great to have you back here. It really is. So, if you haven't been here, we're in part four of our sermon series called Transformed. And we're looking at this idea, this truth that the Apostle Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 12. And if anybody had a resume who could talk about transformed from one way of life in the past into being redeemed by the blood of Christ, it's the Apostle Paul, amen? And so we're going to continue on in that sermon series of what that looks like in Romans chapter 12. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's hard to admit when I'm wrong. Am I the only one? Melanie is like laughing at me. But it's hard, right? It's hard for us to admit when we're wrong, right? And when everyone around us, we feel like is like, why is everybody ganging up on me? But when you come to the realization that it's you, right? And the problem isn't everybody out there, it's in here. It's in here, in your head, in your mind, your heart, right? It's inside of us. And that can be very, very frustrating, right? And oftentimes we like to, this is a wall from last week. This is a barrier, right? This is a stronghold, right? And often it's easy for us to hide and isolate ourselves back here, right? I feel like Bert and Ernie right now. But it's easy for us to isolate ourselves. That's a Sesame Street for the young kids that might be here. Man, I'm dating myself. But it's easy to isolate ourselves when we are, when we were blaming everybody and we feel just like the weight of the world. Do you ever feel like that? It's easy for us to isolate ourselves, right? And so the Apostle Paul, right? He was Saul before his encounter with Jesus. He persecuted Christians. He came out. He thought he had such high knowledge. He was the best of the best educated, right? And he used that education in the wrong way, right? And instead of using that to apply God's truth, he used it to blame people and persecute Christians, right? And so, but here's the thing, that oftentimes when we go through problems, we have our own stuff, we have this thing that's going in our heart and mind, it's easy for us to blame. And I'll have to tell you, growing up in Western Pennsylvania, in Beaver Falls, that's where I'm from, Beaver County, my father was an alcoholic, right? I'm gonna get vulnerable with you right from the start here. My dad was an alcoholic. He was abusive to my mom and to my brothers and I. And that's how I grew up, right? He was a roofer, right? He was a kind of blue-collar guy. And it was tough. I had a lot of anger from a young man, from as a little kid. I had a lot of anger. I saw a lot of messed up stuff. And so growing up, I would blame my dad. Why would you do that? Why would you hit me, right? Why would you abandon us? He eventually left us. He eventually left and started another family. He chased storms, hurricanes. After the hurricane go through, he'd come behind it and make his money that way. But when my daddy abandoned us, my mom remarried, and she married, guess what? Another alcoholic. He was abusive. I had more anger. I had more frustration. God, where are you? So I grew up in a Christian home, but what I saw in my home was anything but. And I was confused as a kid. We'd go to church on Sunday, and then it would be a bar fight in my own house, right? And so you can imagine, right? I had all this anger. And a lot of the stuff that happened to me wasn't my fault. And a lot of the stuff that happened to you wasn't your fault. I recognize that, right? And it's evil, and it's part of the fall. I get that. But what I want to tell you this morning is this, is that we have to sometimes take on our stuff. We have to deal with our issues and not hide behind these strongholds, amen? And so for me, I had to come to the realization, when I got married, I was still carrying around some of this stuff, this baggage, this stronghold that was in my, and I was a youth pastor. I'm up teaching people about Jesus, and I haven't really done business and taken it to the cross. I haven't really done business with Jesus yet. And my wife goes, you've got to deal with this. Some of the fruit of that kind of environment is anger, or pent up or pushed down anger, fear of abandonment, all those different things. And my wife was like, you really got to deal with this. I have a cousin who is in ministry well, still is. He would say, Ben, you got to deal with this, man. It's starting to come through in different ways. It was leaking out of me, right? It started coming out of me. And so the idea is I was blaming everything else. I blame my dad. I blame my mom. I blame Beaver Falls, where I came from, right? Steel mills closed. That's why he did it, right? Which is crazy. But here's the thing. I came to the point where I had people that loved me, like my wife and some of my closest friends and pastors that I served with, go, you need to deal with this. You got to deal with this. You have some strongholds in your life that are robbing you of the victory that God wants to give to you. You are holding on to things that are robbing you from pouring into somebody else. And I wonder how many of you this morning, don't raise your hand. I wonder if you, how many this morning are still stuck behind the strongholds in your life. The things of the past. The upbringing. And again, I recognize, listen, the things that happened to you that wrong, I'm sorry that happened to you. But here's the thing I want to share. I came to a point in my life where I had to deal with that stuff. And I had to stop blaming my dad, my mom, my stepdad, the city I grew up in, World War II, right? Which was my grandfather. He came back and became an alcoholic from that. He was fine before, and then he came back just a raging alcoholic. But what I had to do is I had to stop blaming. I had to identify those strongholds. I went to counseling. I went to pastors and prayed. And it took me a good 10 years to really deal with this stuff and get it out and get it out and heal. And the more I dealt with it, the more I was able to heal. November 2011, my father died in Las Vegas. That's where he eventually ended up. He was doing air conditioning repair, right? He passed. He had a brain aneurysm. He was on the bed, and he was already gone. He was just being alive, kept alive by machines. And I saw my dad take his last breath. And I'm telling you, when he took his last breath, there was this healing that happened to me. That I was no longer his fault. I had pity on my father. We had made up beforehand. We had a couple conversations. But when I saw him take his last breath, like color come to his body. And I just realized, like, oh my goodness, right? I don't have to continue on with this. Like, he's gone, right? I own my own stuff. I've had conversations with my mom, but there had to be that point. And I don't know what it is for you, what moment it is for you, when you're gonna come to the realization when we gotta stop blaming everybody else and take ownership of our stuff and stop hiding behind these strongholds. And that's our hope and prayer. Listen, we're gonna start talking, maybe try to identify some of these in our lives, but there's hope in Jesus. Don't check out on me. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's a remedy, right? There's a remedy that we're gonna get to. So that's where we're going to go. But I want you to think about strongholds in your life that you're dealing with from the past, or maybe you're still dealing with. We're gonna have a time of prayer, a time of corporate prayer afterward where you can come up and deal with those issues. So our big idea for this sermon series, it'll be coming up on the screen, is transformation. We're thinking about transformation. Transformation is a process of becoming more like Jesus through relationships that transform us. These are relationships that are supposed to be life-giving. We're not going to talk about drinking buddies or shopping group or whatever. I'm talking about people that will make a difference in your life, right? Relationships that transform us. Our renewing of our minds. We're going to talk about that today. That's where we're going to camp out a lot today, drill down on that. And then revealing of God's truth. Seeing how God's truth can help us understand and uncover more things. So that's where we're going. That's where we're headed. So I just want you to think about that. So who you are today is the result of your thoughts from yesterday, right? Who you are today is the result of your thoughts from yesterday. Changing your thinking changes your life. Like in my story with my father and my mother, I had to change my thinking before I could ever become healed, right? And that includes anything that you're ever going through, right? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, in your marriage, your sex life, your family, your friends, money, your vocation, whatever it is, until you have that transformation and perspective shift, it will never change. You'll be stuck. You'll be behind here, these strongholds in your life. And so it's important to have that shift of those thoughts from yesterday to today. If you can change your thinking, you can change your life. And here's the thing, when we hand over our life to Christ, he's the one that does it for us. That's the amazing thing, right? And so we want to do these things. Here's some ideas. It's kind of like a little formula here. If we can reveal what's in our life that's stopping us from moving forward, or the junk or the baggage, we can reveal what that is, or identify that, reveal it. We can remove it. We can take it out of our life and say, I don't want this in my life. I'm going to repent of that. And then I'm going to replace it with God's truth. And I'm going to replace it with relationships that matter, that are life-giving, right? And then guess what happens? Your mind becomes renewed. Do you want that this morning? We do. We want that for you. We want that for you to leave here with a renewed mind. Amen? Romans 12, 1 through 2 says this, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect will is for your life. And that's what a lot of people want to know. What is God's will for my life? You can't get there until you have that renewed mind. And so when we have those renewed minds, when I had that experience in Las Vegas, right? I know that sounds crazy to say in a sense. I could hear it. In the hospital with my dad dying there, it was peaceful, it was rejuvenating, it was refreshing. My mind and heart became renewed, right? That's what happens when the Holy Spirit moves upon you, right? And when you have this perspective shift, that it begins to do those things, you feel refreshed, rejuvenated, and restored. Maybe some of you can relate to that with me on that, right? And so we think about that. What is a mindset, right? You know, what do we think about renewing our minds? What is a mindset? Well, a mindset is a collection of thoughts and beliefs that shape your habits, affecting how you feel inside, and then what you do, how you live your life out before others and before God, right? And so that's what a mindset is. And so we have good mindsets and we have negative mindsets. We have mindsets that are from the Lord, but then we have these ones that are from the enemy. Can you relate with that this morning, right? And so when we, if we can identify what those mindsets are, think of one for me is fear, right? When I was a child, I feared that my parents were gonna leave or there was gonna be explosive yelling, fighting, punching, whatever it was. I had fear, right? And so that was one thing that I had to deal with and continue to deal with, right? But I know that God has redeemed me. So we have to have these fortified places in our minds. We have to identify that and give it over to God, and He will fortify it. He will be the one that does it. He'll be your strength in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, verse 3 and 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, this stuff, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought captive into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, right? So this is a great verse. And so just think of this. As Pastor Rick was here last week and did an amazing job, he said each one of these represented a stronghold that we all had to deal with, right? They're still there, right? It could be, you know, fear. It could be abandonment. It could be anger. It could be lust. Whatever it is, those are the things. And so Paul is writing, his resume to which he writes the early church, he's speaking from experience. He isn't just giving you the Christian cliches, right? He's preaching and speaking and writing out of his own experience, how Christ and the Holy Spirit shaped him, right? And so here's what he's saying. We have these different strongholds, right? He tells us to cast them down. Take them and throw them. I want to throw this so bad right now. I'm not going to. Like, just toss it back. Catch this, Bridget. No, what's up? But he wants us to cast down, right? If we can identify that thing, that fear, I'm just going to cast it down, right? Strongholds, right? The idea behind a stronghold is you think of a fort or a castle, you know, Fort Knox. My grandma always said Fort Knox. I never got that. I guess that's where the gold was. Oh, there we go. Yeah, was, right? But a stronghold is this like a fortified place, right? And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to take this stronghold. You're not good enough. Your dad's an alcoholic. You'll be just like him. Those are strongholds, right? He wants to just put in your ear like a little seed that will plant. That's a stronghold. Arguments, right? He says to throw off those arguments, cast down arguments. Arguments are imaginations or speculation. Oh my goodness, social media is full of arguments. Not good ones either. I'm praying for you this year. I'm not on social media other than Instagram, but that's just for my family pictures. But we got to be careful of those arguments that are out there, right? Human reasoning, right? They'll give you all their philosophies, so we have to think about how we deal with those reasons. High things, these barriers, right? We could continue to stack these up, but I have a mic in my hand, right? But these barriers become high. We can't even see sometimes because we have all this baggage, and they block us from really seeing how we're supposed to live our life. right? And then this has to have this knowledge to know experientially, right? Paul writes in such a way that he had been shipwrecked and snake bitten, and he had his encounter with Jesus, right? He's writing from experiential knowledge. Some of you, because you've dealt with these barriers, I do want to push them. Okay, I'm going to do one. Yeah. So I'll get that in a minute. Keep an orderly process here. But Paul wrote from a knowledge that he wanted to pass on, that he was able to pour into people and write three quarters of the New Testament, right? Here, listen, God wants you to take those thoughts captive and pour into people, right? We have connection groups coming. We have all kinds of different things, right? We have a prayer team. We have a worship team. There's different ways in which you can use your experience for God's glory. It doesn't have to hold you captive or prisoner. It can set you free to help others get free. But so what do? We get stuck behind these strongholds, and we're just stuck behind them, and we're going to be okay with that, right? And so those thoughts and the perceptions, those are the things that need to change. There was a picture of a castle. You know, again, just you think of a stronghold. That's a pretty strong, you know, I think Angry Birds, too. Remember that app where you... But you would blow that up with bombs, right? But that's what we want to do, is we want to tear down that stronghold in our hearts and our minds. Whatever that stronghold is for you this morning, you're thinking of it right now, I know you are. God wants to tear that down and replace it and give you the blood of Christ to set you free, right? What are the things, listen, what are the things that we help take us, that build this castle, these strongholds, right? And I think it's this. Past experiences are one thing, and traumatic experiences are another, right? Your past. So many of us are still living in the past. So much of what we think and feel, we romanticize about the past, and we're sacrificing the present and the future, what God wants to do for us. And so listen, he wants to redeem your past. He wants you to learn from your past. He doesn't want you to stay there, right? Have you ever seen Napoleon Dynamite? Uncle Rico, he could throw a football over them mountains. He's stuck in high school. He's almost 50, 45, 50, right? He's stuck in his past. God doesn't want you to stay in your past. He wants you to learn from it, redeem it, and use it for others. Now, listen, no matter how hard you want to change, we have to look at our past. We have to deal with it in a healthy way. We have to surrender our past to God. You are not defined by your past, but you're defined as a child of God. Do you know that? You're not your past. That is not who you were or who you are now. I played football at Beaver Falls. I have a Letterman jacket that says 91 or 92 on it, right? I don't continue to wear that around. I don't. I would look creepy and weird. But that's what we do. That's what you and I do when we continue to harbor the past, right? Take that jacket off, hang it up, maybe bring it out for the grandkids someday. I don't know. But that's what we do. So we cannot be defined by our past. Our past shapes us. We can learn from it, but we have to move on from it. Like, my past, I can't separate. It's part of who I am. It's part of who you are, right? But it doesn't have to define you, right? You can make the decision. If you haven't already, you can do it today, right? To continue to move forward and live in victory. You don't have to be a victim of your past. Victim mentality is what people are struggling with right now, right? Past experience, you think about the Western Pennsylvania culture, right? Pittsburgh is just, there's so much depression and anxiety, right? The Mon Valley spirit, the Beaver Valley spirit, right? Whatever valley it is, there's always this depression that hangs over us. We don't have to settle for that. We can champion and strive toward victory. And so we are the sum total of all our past experiences, but we can learn and define by that. We're moving forward. We're defined in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Traumatic experiences, they define us. I just shared with you, I was abused. I came from an alcoholic family. We moved a bunch of times. Those are traumatic for me. I know some of you have that traumatic thing there. And again, I'm sorry those things happened to you, but I can't stay in that. I cannot stand. It'll be like just carrying around this big boat anchor tied around my waist and just, I mean, I have a bad Achilles. I can't do that. Can't do that, Pastor Gary. Can't do it. So this attitude of our traumatic experiences, I want to beg you, do not let that traumatic experience define you. Jesus Christ wants to set you free and give you a new freedom and a new victory that you've never felt before. You can have that today. We're going to give you that opportunity to move forward from that traumatic experience. I'm sorry that what that might have happened to you, but I'm telling you, as someone that's gone through some, there's victory in Jesus. Some common schemes and strongholds that we have here. Let me adjust my stronghold thing. We have illegitimacy, right? Telling you're not enough, you're not good enough, you'll always be this way, right? We have rejection. You ever felt rejected? Yeah, I have, that's for sure. Abandonment, that's like the thing that I struggled with the most as a kid. Fear of abandonment, that's a tough thing. When your dad doesn't want to be around you, your dad doesn't come to your games, like that's tough as a little guy, right? And then trying to explain that to your kids, like, hey, what happened with you and your dad? Well, that's a long story. Hopelessness, you ever feel hopeless? There's so many people that feel hopeless right now, right? These are strongholds that people have. Like the use of antidepressants, I'm not coming down on antidepressants, that's not what I'm saying, but people are seeking that, okay, over champion, over like, you know, going to therapies and pastors and doing life with other people. That's good stuff, but don't just rely on that, right? But there's a hopelessness that is just over all of kind of even our Western Pennsylvania that just saturates. It's part of the human condition, right? Worthlessness, I'm not good enough. I'm never gonna make enough money. When am I gonna get my break, right? Your identity. Some people are still trying to figure out what they're gonna do with their, that's me. Like, what am I gonna do when I grow up? Like, immorality, right? They're hedonists, they live for pleasure. For drunkenness, for any type of pleasure they get on the weekend, right? Whatever it is, that's what they live for, this immorality, right? They live for the rebellion. That's kind of who they are, and that's part of. And then there's this unforgiveness. Oh, man, that's a tough one. Unforgiveness keeps us back from being all that we could be, right? I love what Pastor Rick says. He says, I want to be the first to forgive. And he talked about his relationship with Natalie. I want to be the first to forgive and reach out. I love that attitude of the heart. That's a renewed mind thinking. Do you understand? Unforgiveness says, I'm gonna make them pay for what they did to me. I'll show my dad, right? That's an unforgiving spirit. We don't want that, right? And so we have to have that. So we're gonna give you opportunities here at Bridge City Church. There's Victory and Freedom coming up on February 17th. One at White Oak for the ladies and one for the men at the North Braddock Campus. This is a great place to deal with your hurts, hang-ups, and habits, right? That's the other H, three H's. But it's a place for you to deal with those things in victory and freedom. I've been there. It's amazing. I want to encourage you, if you haven't done it, to go, right? The ladies, it's filled up, but there's plenty of room for the guys. There could be a waiting list. What's that? We're good. Okay, yeah. Ladies, it's filled up, and the men, there's still room, right? Connection groups. Back there on the wall, you can see underneath the connection point, we've already put up the connection groups that we're going to be offering this semester, right? This is a great place for you to do life together. I want to inform you, just because you've been walking with Jesus longer doesn't mean you've arrived. We have to continue to remain teachable and humble and to do life together, right? Do you remember during the pandemic watching church on TV or your computer? That felt just weird, didn't it? There's nothing like when the body of Christ gets together. Nothing like it. It's amazing, right? So connection groups, victory and freedom, these are places for you to deal with those past traumas and your past experiences. These are places that are built in to help you have a renewed mind and a renewed sense of your heart, right? So we all come with our biases. We all come, like, grew up in a certain way. Those are things that also need to be cast down and thrown out, right? So, but the tension for some of us is this, is that we recognize that we're thinking that we have different needs, that our thinking is right, that we know better than God. I know what I need, right? And the reality is that he knows what you need. He gives us his word, right, to change our thinking. And so that's the tension we have to live with, right? We recognize that we have needs, but we're transformed by God, but sometimes we're going to hold on to our strongholds and hide behind these things. So we have to decide, are we going to let our strongholds dictate who we are? Are we going to let the word of God and who Christ is and his Holy Spirit guide us into victory and an abundant life? We just have to be there. That's where we are, right? We have to ask the right questions, right? What lie is holding you hostage this morning? There's a lie that the enemy has put in your mind and your heart. It's a lie from the pits of hell. God loves you, right? How about this one? What false perception is keeping you from taking your next step of faith? Oh, when I get time, I'll do this. Nope, that's false thinking. That's thinking, right? Asking the right questions, right? What false perception is keeping me from taking my next step? That's the right question, right? What wrong thought pattern is keeping you from living in freedom? Sometimes we get stuck in this pattern, this cycle of thinking, right? Nobody likes me. They don't like me. I feel this way. That's a pattern. God wants to move it from us. And stop asking the wrong question, like, what is wrong with everyone else? That's what I did. I did that. I still do that every now and then. I get it. Why don't they get it, right? And why can't everyone else see things like me? Have you ever said that? Melanie's shaking her head. Okay. But you cannot defeat the enemy that you cannot define, right? You cannot change your thought patterns that you don't understand, right? You have to be able to think what the enemy has for you. Like, you can't defeat him. If I was, you know, playing sports, or I played football, we wouldn't know what the other team was. They'd give you a tape. You have to study what their plays are. You have to prepare for that, right? So if you know that your enemy is going to put these lies in your heart, you're going to be able to, okay, I'm going to have a defense against that. I'm going to be proactive, right? I'm going to have a renewed sense of what God wants for me, right? So every self-defeating behavior that kind of trickles in your mind, whether it's intentional or unguarded, in the middle of the night, in the morning when you're showering, whatever it is, it's based on a lie. It's based on the enemy of your souls, and that's what he wants to do, is take you off from being a child of God, right? So the enemy tells us lies, right? He twists our minds, right? He diverts you from your purpose and your destiny, right? He diverts you. You're going one way, you're walking on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and all of a sudden he has this other thing and he diverts you. That's what he wants you to do, right? He wants to distract you. That thing that we hold in our hands that we read in our Bible can also distract us from what God wants to do. Just wasting time, just scrolling. Like, scroll. You know, that he distracts us from having a relationship with us, right? And then he wants to destroy relationships that matter. Could be with your children. Could be with your spouse. Could be with somebody in this room. I don't know. But he wants to destroy those relationships matter so you are isolated and you're stuck behind those strongholds. That's what the enemy does, and so we have to be ready to go. So all along, Jesus wants to transform our hearts and minds. He wants to metamorphosize us. And not from where we are, he wants to metamorphosize, change us, transform us into who he's called us to be. What I like, this key application point, it says, what are we gonna do with this? What are we gonna do with all these different things, right? We have to admit we have a pattern. Admit that we have a pattern. We have to admit that we have a stronghold. It's uncomfortable as all get out. It's not fun. It's not good, right? It's tough, but it's a necessity for you to grow, to have a transformed, renewed heart and mind, right? We need to ask for help, right? I have to ask Melanie over and over again because I'm a man. Please clarify how I'm doing this, and she'll clarify for me, right? But we need to ask for help, our family, our loved ones, people that care about us. Have them clarify over with you what you need to work on. Be teachable, be open. That's the toughest part. That's the toughest part. The other one is apply. Applying God's word to our situation, right? Taking God's word, not just like tossing it over in the car or shutting your app, but actually applying it from Monday through Saturday, right? We need to apply God's word when we're in this situation, applying it, living it out, right? That's what we need to do. And then here's the thing. As a pastor, this is where it shuts down, and you know this. People don't remain active. They think, if I say the prayer, I take the communion, I do the Pittsburgh mission trip, I do a connection group, I'm good. But it's a daily active thing. It's an active pursuit of freedom in Christ. It's taking up your cross daily, dying to yourself and your needs and your wants. It's daily. So there's an active participation that we're called to do. That's what Paul knew. That's what Paul was saying in these verses. And I just wonder, are you actively pursuing freedom in Christ? Are you actively pursuing the Holy Spirit to connect and guide you on your way? Because he's there for us. He's there for us, right? In Colossians chapter 2, it says this, Colossians 2, 13 through 15, you were dead because of your sins, right? And because your sinful nature, that goes all the way back to the garden, right? Genesis chapter 3, the fall of humanity. That's the human condition. We're bent towards sin. Right? Because your sinful nature was not cut away, it's still in us, it's there, you know, then God made you alive with Christ. Think about that. You remember when you first met Jesus? How you came alive, how your heart and your mind connected, right? You're made alive with Jesus, and he forgave you of all of your sins, right? He forgave you of all your sins. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and he shamed them publicly by victory over them on the cross. He shamed them over his victory on the cross. And I want you to think about that, right? That there's this handwriting on the walls. There's this handwriting on the walls that says, you did this. The enemy of our souls wants us to feel guilt. And there's just all this writing. And Jesus says, I'm going to do away with that. And with my blood, you were set free. You were set free. That is how you get a renewed mind. That you take this. You take that stronghold and you set it at the foot of the cross. That's what you do. That's what we're going to ask you to do this morning in a time of prayer. That you aren't the stuff that the enemy is writing on the walls about you. You are not that. You have been set free because of what he did on the cross and the blood of Christ. Amen? So here's the thing. That wherever you are this morning, we're called to do those things. To admit that we have a pattern in our lives. We have a pattern that needs to be called out, drug out of the light, and brought out there and say, this is not who I am. I need to admit that. Then we need to ask. We ask for help this morning. God, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the strength. I've been in ministry a long time. I have to ask daily, but there was a time in my life where I had to say, I need help. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Are you willing this morning to ask for help, to have freedom that you've never understood before? He wants you to ask for help. Then apply it. Apply it. Don't just leave it here in this room, in this sanctuary, but take it out and live it. Apply it to your lives. Teach your kids. Live your life out loud so your coworkers go, I want to be like that. And then finally, this activeness, this constantly getting after it, moving up the field, going forward, right? I played football. I can't stand when wide receivers go this way. Can't stand it, but in reality, here's the thing. God wants us to move forward, leave behind our past, leave behind our traumatic experiences, and be actively moving forward, pursuing him. Because guess what? He's pursuing you too. He wants a relationship with you. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to close in just kind of this time of worship, but then we're going to go into another time of worship where I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward, come along the front here. And then as we go through this and to talk about the strongholds, to have a renewed mind, we don't want you to leave here without doing business with God. Deal with those issues in your life. Get free. Cling to the cross. Take those strongholds and lay them at the cross. And so I'm gonna pray right now, and then I'm going to have the ushers. They're going to kind of direct people if we can. I'm throwing this on the fly to you, I know. But in case we get kind of bogged down here, we want to make sure we have direction and order. But here's the thing, folks. We want you to deal with those things. We pray for a renewed mind and a heart that will seek after God. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for Bridge City Church, for Brighton Heights Campus specifically, right now, that someone in this room needs set free from a traumatic experience. Someone in this room needs to know about the blood of Christ from a past that they can't seem to shake. Father, someone needs to ask for help. Someone needs to ask for forgiveness. And so right now, I just pray that we would do business with you. As people come, you're welcome to come out to forward to ask for prayer. We're going to have a time of prayer. So you can make your altar where you are. You can come forward in time.